Good afternoon, everyone. It is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so happy to be with you today live in this studio like we are every Sunday. Connie's right here beside me. It's good to be here, isn't it? Don't you enjoy it?
Yes. And what a beautiful day. What?
Yeah, it is.
It's only 87 degrees outside.
Compared to up in the Far East. You're not nice. Betty's probably listening to us, and she's going to join
us.
She's going
to jump me when she gets on.
Yes, yes, because she's going to join us in a few minutes.
It's 44 there.
From the frozen tundra. Said, well, 44.
That's a heat wave.
That's right.
Last week it was single digits.
Are they complaining about? That's not bad, 44. I mean, she may have something else to say about that when she joins us, but.
You know she will.
I mean, 80-something, yeah. I'd say we're living in paradise.
It's not crowded out here. Come on down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not crowded, is that what you said?
Yeah.
It's not crowded.
Come on down.
Okay. All right. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister with Connie Farmer, and Betty Thomas will join us a little while, part of our radio team. BT. And, you know, God is just doing so many wonderful things, Connie. We had a great service this morning. And
Satan tried to mess it up,
messing with people, and a lot of sick people, and a lot of people just having a lot of stuff going on in their lives. And even Nan, you know, was really ill this morning. And look at her. She's sitting over here just behaving herself and taking good notes.
Oh, Pastor, I want to come to the radio show because this was so good today. This was so good.
You're making fun of her, Connie. You are in such trouble. But you know what? Hey, Nan knows how to take good notes and learn the word. And I'm excited about today's show. It's going to be actually a breakthrough, life-changing show for as many people who will grab it, because the concepts today, there's one particular concept that's going to change lives if they do it. And it's just like, you know, I noticed lately that on some shows on TV, ever since the first of the year, they're all about weight loss. Maybe it's just because I need to do that. So I don't know, but I just keep
New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, New Year's resolutions. I keep hearing them, and they'll bill those shows like Dr. Oz or whatever, and they'll bill those as today's show is the breakthrough show.
Mm-hmm. And lose maybe 300 pounds in 1 week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? But the truth of the matter is we all need to have our attention drawn back to our issues and the things that really need to be, you know, dealt with and straightened out in our lives. And there really are answers out there. And there's answers in the Word of God that we're going to talk about today that are going to set people free. I am excited about what God's going to do today, because there are needs out there in the world, in the community. Some people listen on this show that are in a lot of different states. And so every one of you are welcome. We're glad you've joined us, as always, every day. If you have a prayer need, Connie, tell them what they should do about that before we get into this first song.
Send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Absolutely.
And that's IES. Ministries is IES.
And why should they do that?
Because we get results. We got the power.
The power. What it is just a group of people that believe God for the answers to the situations going on in people's lives. And there are some serious, serious issues going on in a lot of people's lives. And they need that prayer support. And so that is what we offer you. There's no obligation to that, of course. We just want you to have your prayer answered. And so you can write us prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Some people may want to be a part of that prayer team, and that prayer team is large. And you can join that by just doing the same thing, writing prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. It's just a way for people to have, you know, somebody that they can reach out to that will pray for their needs, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's if you want to be a prayer, there what happens is the requests come in, and then a couple people are on duty to send out prayers, and they send the request out, but they also attach a prayer along with it. So that if you're in the middle, you know, if you think that you're too busy to be a prayer, then you can think again, because if you can read a quick email, you're praying, because the prayer is attached in there, and you know, you can add whatever you want to add to it, but it's not difficult.
Well, that's a good point, you know, because we all have time, you know, in our busy days to read an email or two. Mm-hmm. So we can't be too busy to pray, because if the prayer is right there, all you're doing is reading that prayer and you're coming into agreement with mm-hmm. it. And so you got to have a minute or so to be able to read through that
prayer. And that's what we all are doing, is coming into agreement with that prayer.
That's it.
So, and that's the whole purpose of the prayer team, is to have people in agreement for what we're...
Absolutely.
That that person or...
And it doesn't matter distance. It doesn't matter what state you live in. Betty's going to call in here in a minute from Indiana, and here we are in Florida, and people
sweating.
Around the world.
We're here sweating.
We're here enjoying the weather. But, you know, it doesn't matter where our listeners mm-hmm. are. There's no distance in prayer.
No, we've had prayers from India. We've had prayers from...
Australia. Different countries. Yeah. And, you know, it also does not matter if we know the all the conditions around that prayer. Because right. God knows who that person is. Give us a first name. We don't need a last name.
We don't
name.
Even need that, really.
Really, we don't. You know,
God knows.
Yes. And so, you know, he knows exactly who this person is and what needs to be done in the situation. But he does tell us to pray, and to pray in faith, and to pray in agreement. And so that's what we do. So we welcome you to use our Beacon of Hope prayer line, which is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. I asked Connie to put this first song on here. One of my favorites. It's an older song by Debbie Selby. Been around a while. We've used it on our show probably the whole 6 years we've been on the air. We've used it different times. Mm-hmm. River of My Life. And I love it because it's just, well, I'm not going to tell you. I want you to hear it. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
River of my life, light upon my
Praise God. That's who he is, our creator, lover of our soul. Wonderful.
Forget how good
God.
That song is.
Isn't it great? You're the place where my heart finds its home. I love that. I depend on you. I will never walk alone. That's what it's all about. This show is all about depending on God and learning to walk in victory and coming out of the junk that keeps us down and discourages us and defeats us. Let's pray as we begin today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to get together and talk about God. Talk about you, Lord. Talk about your presence in our lives. Talk about the way you change us and mold us and make us and turn us around into just amazing, amazing people for you, God. That's what you do. You can do that. It's the river of life, your life that flows through us. Holy Spirit, you're that river of life. And we thank you right now for your presence within us and in this show today. Lord, let your word go forth in power, in might. Let your word change our lives. Let your word touch us. Let it get down on the inside of us and let us desire a deeper relationship with you as a result of your word and this music today. And Lord, we just thank you for insight and wisdom and joy as we go through this show. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's talk about Stephen in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 is a real important part of the book of Acts because we see that the early church is growing. It's getting bigger and things are happening.
Momentum.
Momentum, yeah. Momentum's happening. And people are, they're wanting to hear what's going on. What is this gospel all about, you know? In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say I believe not only are we in the last days, but I believe that momentum is changing around the world, too. And I am declaring and believing that more and more people are going to want to know about this Jesus that we serve and what he can do in our lives. Because people are hurting. Connie, you see it at the hospital all the time. People are hurting. They are having awful things happen to them, terrible things. And where do you turn? Where do you turn?
I don't know where. If I didn't have God, I don't know what I would do.
Exactly.
I had a good friend who was a different faith, and she got cancer.
Yeah.
And a good friend of hers, who was also a good friend of mine, and I were talking as she was sharing with me her diagnosis, and I said, How would you deal with this if you didn't
right.
have God?
Yes.
And she said, I don't know. She said, I've tried to talk to her and I just can't, you know, she's set in her
right.
mind, just as I guess we're set in our mind, that Jesus is the only way.
Right.
And it's, you know, but she was into, you know, positive thought and
right.
you know, send good thoughts. And
yeah, send good thoughts my way, yeah. But what we have is so much more powerful than positive mm-hmm. thoughts, and
Absolutely.
That is the presence of Almighty God, the river of life
right.
that we just played that song about. It's the Holy Spirit that flows through us and that gives the encouraging word or puts a arm around someone or is with them during the death of a relative or whatever the case may mm-hmm. be. It's that river of life, and we're going to talk about that river of life today. And dear listener, you need the river of life, which is Jesus. The Holy Spirit. It's God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You need God in your life just as much as I do, Connie or Betty. And we find in Acts 6 that as this chapter opens, that the disciples are making a terrific headway in people's lives. There's people that are being ministered to all the time. However, as is common in your workplace or in church or any place else, trouble erupts. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing. That's just hard to imagine, right? That trouble could even erupt in a church. I mean, yes. I mean, that is what happens when people interact, because personalities are never always going to agree. You and I, Connie, were talking about this earlier. Not always do people, especially in church, seem to agree on the way everything is run. I mean, mm-hmm. you and I were not disagreeing.
No.
We were in agreement about the fact that not everybody agrees.
Right.
It's a little confusing, but that's what I meant. So we see here, that's what happens in Acts 6. And we find that all the disciples are going, you know, what are we going to do here? There's a problem with the serving of the widows, the Greeks and the Hebrew women. You know, there was a conflict and they felt like some were not getting fed as much as the others, or and whatever, and it caused a real problem. And it said that really hard feelings developed. And, you know, hard feelings do develop in churches. They do develop in Bible studies. They do develop in your workplace, in your home. Hard feelings are part of life. We don't all always see things the same way. But it's what we do with those hard feelings, Connie. That's what matters, you know? Right. What do we have a solution for? Do we deal with it, you know? Or do people just bottle it up and get resentful and
Leave the church.
And unfortunately, a lot of that happens in a lot of churches. So here we are. Betty, are you on the phone?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
All righty, good. You can join us here. So Stephen is in a situation that he's one of the first deacons that are appointed in the early church. There's several of them here, because this was the answer. As these disciples prayed about, what do they do about the fact that some people are getting mad and getting their feelings hurt? God told them, set aside some men who will actually be in charge of the food serving and the setting up the tables and all that stuff so that the disciples would be released to pray and teach the word and do those things. Now, I find it interesting that the very first person they name is a guy named Stephen, and it says here in Acts 6, about verse 6, that he was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. You know, he wasn't somebody that was just somebody that felt called to set up tables and help serve food. This guy was evident to everybody around. He was full of God. And I find it very fascinating that he's willing to take on menial work like this in the church, setting up tables and dishing out food. And what do you think about that, Betty? Because I think a lot of times people have a hard time doing things like that if they feel that they're called, quote unquote, to be a pastor or a teacher or whatever.
Well, I think the real meaning, the real word here is a servant.
Good point.
You can actually, I know this is a strange way to put it, but you know, even if you clean toilets in the church,
yes,
you're serving.
Yes. Because
you're doing something that probably most people wouldn't do.
Right.
Most people feel like that there are other people that can be doing this. I am called to do this. So
right.
I think that when they saw Stephen, you know, he was shining with God's grace and energy. And
right.
They knew just by looking at him that he is a man of God. And I think that you can see that in a lot of people today because, you know, they're there when the church doors are open. They're
right.
There during prayer time. They're there, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. You know, they're wanting to, you know, is there anything I can do? That's what I think that they saw him. Is there anything I can do?
Absolutely. And I think it's so cool. Go ahead, Connie. Did you have a comment about that? Because I think it's so cool. You're right, Betty, that he was willing to set up tables, dish out food, whatever it took, because he knew he was a servant. And it's all about servanthood if we are going to really become all that God calls us to be. You know, it's not about the notoriety, the position, everybody knowing, you know, giving you attention for what you're doing. It's not like that at all, is it?
No, not at all. And I think it's just like probably when you received your calling from the Lord, it's like a lot of people think that you have to, which I think Stephen did, he gave up a lot.
Right.
He gave up a lot of the material things, a lot of the things that most people would not do today is, you know, leave their house, leave their cars, and go follow Jesus.
Right.
It takes a lot of inhibitions and intuition to say, okay, God, is this really you? But once you get into that servanthood, there's no turning back because you're just so full of enthusiasm and there's just you want to do more, and that's the key. You want more and more and more of the Lord.
That's it. And when you begin to get vocal about him,
mm-hmm.
like Stephen was known as somebody here that was going out and he was laying hands on people. There were miracles happening through him. He was vocal about Jesus. He wasn't just saying, well, no, I can't really talk about the Lord because I'm the one that sets up tables. You know, he was living that servanthood, you know, on a daily basis. And I think that's huge here when you see that. And And when they named him one of these deacons, he didn't quit going out and being full of faith. He didn't say, oh, well, I'm only supposed to set up tables now, you know? Nothing like that. It wasn't like that.
What's really cool about that, too, is that, you know, I read this over probably 3 or 4 times.
Right.
And he had enough faith
right.
to step outside of the box.
Hmm.
Even back then, he was one of the trailblazers. One
he
of
was.
The apostles that wanted to go out and see that God's word was spread all over the world or in that area. And that's what God is still calling us to do today, is to step outside of our box, have enough faith to take that first step and watch what he can do.
Oh, exactly. And the thing is, it takes courage, and Stephen mm-hmm. had it. It says here in verse 8, Stephen brimming, it says in the Message Bible, I like this, brimming with God's grace and energy. God's grace and energy, I want to talk to you both about that energy, why that's important, was doing wonderful things among the people, unmistakable signs that God was among them. So talk to me about energy, Connie, and God's grace and why this was so important here where Stephen's life was concerned, even though he was just a deacon, quote unquote.
Well, even before, I mean, I can kind of compare it to some things in my life.
Okay.
And when I came to Beacon, you know, all I wanted to do was just get out the door before you called
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, you really were just like, didn't want to get to know the pastor, that's for sure.
Well, then, you know, as things went on, I started getting involved doing more things, little
right.
things here and there.
Yeah.
And, but I found myself praying for people.
Right.
I found myself being on the prayer team.
Right.
I found myself praying over people as they came up for prayer.
Exactly.
And I found myself getting more and more involved.
And this was a little outside of your normal box?
It was way outside my
box. Way outside your box?
Way outside okay. my box.
Way outside of your comfort zone?
But it was what I felt like God was telling me to do.
Okay.
And I felt like I needed to be obedient.
Yes. And so you were willing to be obedient. I think that's where Stephen was here. And but you know what? With that said, if you don't believe what it is you're doing, like you believe that when you lay hands on somebody and you pray over them, something's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with that basic faith that this ministry, quote unquote, that Stephen was doing, he knew his ministry was not just feeding, dishing out food. He knew that he had a ministry in praying over people, laying hands on them, and he believed that something would happen when he did that, correct?
Yeah, and I think that God, you know, he meets you where you are.
Yes.
And so if you feel like you can do tasks, which mm-hmm. is dishing out food, or setting up tables, you can do those tasks.
Right.
Then eventually, he sees your heart, he knows
right.
your heart, and he starts giving you more challenges, and he's like pulling on you saying, don't you think you can like pray for this one right here? Because you kind of like that person, you know, maybe a little more, that person's,
right.
person's important to you.
Right.
You know, and can't you pray over them, you know, maybe, and then... You know, then I'll run into somebody at work, you know, that's a coworker or whatever, and they start telling me that all this stuff's going on, and I find myself saying, I'm praying for you.
Right.
And, you know, it just builds and builds
and builds.
It wells
up within you, doesn't it?
So now
the desire.
Like they call me the church lady.
The church lady. They should call you the church lady.
Not like on TV, though.
Yeah. Probably like that.
No.
Well, I think it's interesting that Stephen, it says he was brimming with God's grace and energy. Mm-hmm. I don't think Stephen could contain the fact that he knew that he knew that he knew that God wanted to touch these dear people. And yeah, okay, my yeah. job is to set up tables. I'm sorry, I'll go set up the tables, but then I got to go minister. He got it. He got it. He had a vision of where he was going, and it's from that deep place of love for God that we reach out when somebody is saying to you, so and so, my child is sick, whatever, and that compassion wells up within you and you want to do something about it, right?
Yeah. And then you find yourself not setting up tables.
Right. And
because somebody else is coming along who's coming up the same way that you
right.
came up.
Yes.
But they need to set up the tables.
Exactly.
For them.
Right.
And for you, because you need to be doing this.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's a part of this growth process mm-hmm. that happens, and which we're going to talk about today on the show. And I said this is going to be a life-changing show. It can be if people realize that God does not want us to stay stagnant. Yes, you may start out at a certain level in God and just pray for your meals or come to church once in a while. But then as you grow in God, you realize there's more that he wants to do in you and through you, you know, and he doesn't want you. Because I love the fact here in verse 8 of Acts 6 that Stephen is now brimming with God's grace and energy, and he's doing wonderful things among the people. Unmistakable signs that God was among them. He was laying hands on people. He was seeing people healed. And this brought persecution. It brought, because the very next line says, but then some men from the meeting place, whose membership was made up of all these different people, went up against him trying to argue him down. They tried to argue him down. Oh, Betty, have you ever been in a situation like that, my friend?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
I think there, a lot of that energy came from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because if you have ever had the opportunity to be able to pray with someone and have them receive the Lord.
Yes.
Or for them to be infilled with the Holy Spirit, it's
right.
just like a fire that burns from within.
Yes.
That you just want to do more. And it seems like that there are people that sit back and they think, what's she doing?
Right.
I think it's a curiosity that turns into jealousy, that turns into could even be fear, because they're not used to seeing, especially back then, they're not used to seeing these manifestations of God's power.
Right.
That they were thinking, where did this guy come from? You know, who's this Jesus that he talks about and ministers to these people, and especially seeing these people, I call them the people of the Sanhedrin,
yeah.
that they can't fathom this happening because they aren't a part of it.
Right. They don't understand it.
You know what? They had an opportunity,
mm-hmm.
but they chose not to. You know, it was their choice. Their choice not to.
And, you know, that's a good point you make, Betty, because there's people around us, each of us in our daily lives, workplace or wherever, family members, whatever, who think we're crazy. Because, I mean, we're out there on a limb, in a way like Stephen, doing work for the Lord, unrewarded by the world standards, you know, but so very rewarded by God's standards. And because when God places within your heart a desire to serve him, which he is the one who puts that there, and when it's there, we can either squelch it, we can push it down, we can say, no, I got this and this and this and this to do with my life. I'll see you later, Lord. Maybe in a few years I'll have time to do what you want me to do. If that's the attitude of any of our listeners, they need to rethink that attitude, because time's a wasting and every single day counts. We don't know how much longer we have here on this planet. And I think so often we get caught up in our daily routines to such a degree that we just get distracted. And that's one of the points I want to make today. Satan is convenient about distracting us away from the real purpose for our lives. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And I think that we've all experienced that.
Right.
With just in the last few months, where we think that we're right where he wants us, but you know, that's what makes us stagnant. That's what makes us become complacent and lethargic. And it's like, okay, excuse me, you know, he calls me Betty Lou.
Oh, he does. God calls you Betty Lou.
I know. When I hear Betty, it's like, okay. But I hear Betty Lou, it's like, oh,
interesting.
Okay. You know, just like
Sure, he doesn't call you Betty Boop.
Call 10,000 people to pray.
Right. Exactly.
Lord, I'm not worthy, you know, and that's what a lot of people think. I'm not worthy enough to be able to say, to call Joel Olstein or...
I heard you did that.
Hope Ministries. You know, I'm not worthy. It's like, that's what the devil told me. You're not worthy. That's not what God tells me. I am worthy.
You're worthy.
Praise God.
I am blood bought.
Woo! Amen.
Child of the King.
It's like, no, I will do this. It's... But we have to get out of that mindset of, I got a football game to watch, or I got a basketball game to watch. I don't have to go to the church dinners, or I don't have to go to prayer meeting. Yes, you do.
Commitment.
It is a commitment, but you know what? It's still showing God, yes, God, I am willing to do that for you. And when you're willing to do that for you, he is willing to, you know, to go that next step further and guide you and help you to grow in your relationship with him.
Oh, you are so right. I think so many people miss just the little things on a daily basis that God wants to do in their lives because they allow the devil's distractions. We're going to talk about three D's today, three words that begin with D, that cause us to not fulfill what God really wants for us on a daily basis. And the first of those is distractions. And it is so easy. Connie, talk to me about distractions. Isn't it easy to get running, just to get running this way and that way?
Just, yeah. You got nine irons in the fire and you're trying to do something and something else happens and, you know, the child falls or...
Whatever.
The toilet overflows or
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Something happens to pull you away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get you off track.
And distractions are one of the devil's main ways that he keeps us from walking in victory on a daily basis. Now, this setting for Stephen in the early church was a totally different thing. They didn't have cell phones that were going off all the time and driving them crazy. They didn't have their Facebook to check. They didn't have this and that. And, you know, their jobs or whatever, their lives were different. Admittedly, that's true. However, you can't tell me that even back then, people didn't get easily distracted by this, and this. You know, they were pulled in 19 directions like we are. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Marcia, even Pastor Marcia, that if you look at it, if they were distracted back then, it was the people that were distracting them.
Right.
They were, you know, they were talking about them behind their back. They
for
were
sure
saying false, they were doing false witnessing behind his back. And
yes.
That was a distraction to him because it's like you don't think that he can hear this or that the Lord is not revealing this to him to be able to, you know, I could hear the Lord, stop doing this.
Yeah.
And it was a distraction. If people say, you know, what people's words were saying can be so hurtful.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It can distract people from, and even stop them in their tracks if they're not careful.
Well, that's the whole goal. The devil does. You're exactly right about that. If he can distract us off of our target, what we're supposed to accomplish for each day. I kind of think it's cool that God has arranged 24-hour days because we get a fresh start every single day, you know, and we can wake up in the morning and say, okay, today's going to be different than yesterday. I'm going to focus. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And we can, you know, kind of, reboot our computer of our life every single day. And we have that opportunity to look at yesterday and say, wow, you know, man, I got so caught up in this or this and this that I didn't get any quality time spent with God or in the Word or in prayer for others. And talk to me, Connie, about these distractions. I mean, because you're right, Betty, Stephen could have gotten so distracted by all this garbled goop that was going on behind his back because he was the target of all of their gossip and their yak. Go ahead.
We, you know, we're a society of excuses.
Yes, we are.
And so distractions just fit right in there.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, I'm sorry I'm late for this meeting to my boss, but I was, you know, saving life or whatever, you know. And, you know,
okay,
and then he's supposed to accept that.
Life. Yeah.
Okay. You know, so whatever excuse you have, right. You know, it, I used to tell a story, any excuse will do.
Any excuse.
And somebody will, you know, whine about something and, you know, just whatever, because any excuse will do, you know.
Absolutely. And the devil does everything he can to distract us away from the word of God and accomplishing God's will for us for mm-hmm. that particular day. Mm-hmm. And so however he has to do it. In this case, with Stephen in Acts chapter 6, all these important religious people got riled up and stirred up and were talking about him. Betty, you want to go on with that?
It's amazing to me how people in power think that they are the ultimate authority.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
That, you know, there is a greater authority than you or... I'm going to even say go into the, you know, into the government that they think that they have the almighty power.
Mm-hmm.
No, you do for your particular job, but our ultimate authority is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it amazes me today, even in some churches, that these people of power are so can be so vindictive.
Mm-hmm.
Can be so judgmental.
Yes.
Hateful.
That they point fingers.
Yeah.
That the words that they speak have, and I can attest to this in my life and in my family's life, that the words that they speak are so hurtful that they can cause you to rescind, which is something that the Lord doesn't want us to do, to go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants
exactly.
us to go forward. He doesn't want us to go backwards. And we just have to watch what we say.
And what we listen to.
What we say sometimes, it's how we say it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that as those that are beginning to realize how important our words are, which is what we're going to talk about today on the show, too, when we get distracted into, and we all do, but we get distracted into somebody's garbage or somebody's hang-ups or somebody's being upset. Stevens could have so easily taken all this and just caused him to stop praying for people, stop ministering, thinking, you know what, nobody appreciates what I do. I think a lot of people get caught up like this in ministries, Betty, where they get feeling sorry for themselves. Nobody really appreciates or sees what I do. They want notice. They want, you know, some kind of attention from it. And when it doesn't come the way they want it, then they kind of just recoil or back off or leave or don't come to church or, you know, things like that. You know what I'm saying? They get.
Oh, yes. And it's, you know what, that is, back in the day, you know what I would have said? It's like, people grow up.
Right.
Let's be about the Lord's business.
Right.
And let's, you know, the old saying is like, let's get her done.
Right.
For the Lord, because time is wasting. You know,
exactly.
it's getting closer and closer and closer. So the more that we rescind, the more that we recoil, the shorter the time is that we have is to reach out to people and say, God loves you. Let me tell you about him.
Amen.
And when we get into those distractions, which we had a few distractions here the last couple of weeks, that I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and that is, you know, collecting all of, you know, the people that are supposed to pray.
Right.
The devil threw in some distractions, and here we are almost a month away from the projected date, and, you know, Satan's just had a heyday. But you have to learn to say, stop.
Right.
I am not going to take this.
Yes.
There are things that I have to do for the Lord, and you have nothing to do with me. You know, get behind me, because I'm going to do what the Lord has instructed me to do. And I think that's what Stephen was basically, you know, nothing was going to stop him.
No.
Nothing was going to stop him. And that's the attitude that we have to have is don't let the devil distract you and pull you away from what you're supposed to be doing. Pardon me.
Absolutely. And that when you said Stephen proclaimed or declared or said, you know, or you, we have to get to that point where we say, wait a minute, stop here. That's what we want to talk about, too, on this show. When we have come to our senses, let's say, and we wake up and we realize, whoa, wait a minute, I've just wasted a period of time in my life because I've been distracted by this, 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 and this, and I have not accomplished what I need to in my prayer life, in my Bible study, in reaching out to others, in doing what my ministry, whatever that might be. We've got to do something about it. Connie, talk to me about this. We got to get active here. We can't just be dormant, laying around, distracted, deadbeats. You know what I'm saying? That was kind of strong.
A little strong.
Sorry.
You know, I think I spent most of 2012 kind of numb.
Okay.
Now that I look back at it, you know.
All right, Betty, this is confession time here.
Considering the new call, the new... the new draw that I feel from God this year, just this year, and the new commitments that I've made to Him and
Amen.
And to myself, you know, I think I kind of failed last year.
It's easy to do.
You know, I mean, I kept my head above water, but that's about it. I wasn't walking on the water like I should have been.
Okay.
And
you were distracted by this and that and this and that and that
emotions,
and this.
This, you know, all kinds of things. Emotions, right. Work, you know, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, it's time to get back up on top of the water.
It's time.
Holding Jesus' hand. I'm not walking on water by myself.
Right. But it's time to step out in faith. That's what you're saying. That's what Peter did. He got out of the boat in faith.
Yep.
And Betty, do you have a comment on that before we go to this song, Defining Moment?
Yes. Congratulations, Connie, that you have decided to get back up on top of the water because we wouldn't have let you drown.
Amen.
Thank you. I know.
We were praying and believing that for all people of God's, you know, in God's kingdom, that especially you and Nan and Pastor and Nathan. Prayer was going up daily, so he wasn't going to let you drown.
Because we come to a time...
And see how he answers prayer that has been put forth?
Yes.
That's exactly the way the prayer team works.
That's it right there. Because, let's say you, for instance, last year, you know, I spent a lot of time last year. I'm not going to pat my hand on myself on the back, but yes, you were of deep concern for me different times because mm-hmm. I felt like you were struggling, but not wasn't even sure what with. But I knew you needed prayer, and mm-hmm. so I can look at you. Let's say last year I looked at you and go, oh, she's struggling with something, and I just go on and ignore it.
Right.
Or I can have a defining moment where I say, wait a minute. She's my sister. I love her. I am going to spend time praying for her to pull her up out of whatever this is. And that becomes your defining moment for that situation in your life.
Yep.
Right?
Praise God.
Listen to this song, and we're going to come back to you, too. This is my new song. One of my favorites, but again, one we've played for years on this mm-hmm. show because I love mm-hmm. it so much.
In every heart, a time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing how we would live our lives. All our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say, when they
Connie and I are singing up a storm in here, Betty. I tell you what. When you come to the point that you realize he's all you need,
mm-hmm.
okay, and Stephen had to be there at this point. When they're all coming against him, they're all talking nonsense, they're all, you know, speaking junk behind his back. He did not let that get him down. The last verse of Acts 6 is verse 15. As all those who sat on the high council looked at Stephen, they found they couldn't take their eyes off him. His face was like the face of an angel. And the only way his face could have been the face of an angel is if he had a defining moment right then. Connie, talk to me. Get back to Betty.
When you
yes.
surrender all that you think it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And let God take control.
Yeah. Because all that's it right there. Because when we think it's got to be this way, it's got to be that way, and, you know, we can always second guess what God is doing and say, well, how come? You know, you know, but when we decide that he's all we need, you know, mm-hmm. Betty, talk to me. Are you as fired up? Did that song do anything for you, Bet, or is it just us?
Well, I'm doing a little dancing like a little David, you know.
Oh, good.
I'm just doing a little dance here and there.
All right. Good.
Oh, it's God's defining moment.
Woo!
Is when we decide that we want to change.
Yes.
We have to let go of some things mm-hmm. that maybe have hindered us in
yeah.
the past.
Yeah.
And when you come to that realization that God is all you need.
Wow.
You will realize what took me so long. What was my defining moment? For me, it was down in Tampa, Florida. The first visit that I came to my defining moment is that God was not through with me yet.
Praise God.
That he still had some things that he needed accomplished through me. Now, believe it or not, me.
I Betty, believe it.
Here in Indiana. You mean I can do something for you? Yes, you can. But I had to change. I had to have a mindset change, and I had to have a heart change.
Praise God.
Because I wanted to be more than what I thought I could be.
Right.
And through God's
yes.
eyes, I can be all things.
Exactly.
I can do all Amen. Things through him.
And you became willing to change. And I think that's huge, because I think the devil distracts us. Well, the second D is the devil's deceptions. And one of his deceptions is, you know what, God's done with you. You're getting older, or you know, put you out to pasture, you know, or, you know, you're never going to accomplish anything. Connie, talk to me about that, and then we'll get back to Betty.
Personally.
Yeah, personally. And we have Kleenex.
Well, personally, I don't need Kleenex. No. Personally, I have an opportunity job-wise to
right.
do something that I've done for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, I think probably part of the reason, as I thought back on the whole thing, is that I thought I was really probably too old to do this.
Right.
Or that, you know, they're looking for somebody for long-term, not somebody that's going to retire in, you know, 10 or 15, 20 years. They probably want 30. But, you know, then I thought, and I felt like God was telling me, you're the person for this job because
okay.
of the issues that there's such human resource issues,
mm-hmm.
human
mm-hmm.
relation issues,
mm-hmm.
personal issues with
right.
people.
Right.
And getting on that same wavelength with those people.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, I've gone in the years of being in leadership, I've gone from being a dominant kind of person to more of a people person.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be like in the last 10 or 15 years, you know, that I've just made this whole
switch.
It's a switch. I can still be dominant if I need to be.
Right.
But it's not important to me anymore.
Right.
It's
right.
the people things, dealing with people and talking to people and helping them with
Amen.
Their issues than it is controlling them.
So all those changes, and that he's all you need, because you have changed drastically in the years I've known you
mm-hmm.
in your commitment to God
mm-hmm.
and what he wants from you. That's what you're saying?
Yep. Exactly.
Ooh. You know, I think ladies, that Stephen must have had a huge decision right here. Did he let this whole situation with all these religious leaders and all these people talking behind his back take his focus off of his purpose, or did he keep his eyes on Jesus, even in that high council meeting? And it's obvious he kept his eyes focused. He kept his mind focused. He did not go off in his mind with, oh, I hate it that so-and-so stood up and said that, and get all angry and bent out of shape. And you know what I'm saying? He only had eyes for Jesus.
That made me think of something that, and I can't remember the situation of the story, but I remember somebody saying about somebody else that I like me better when I'm with you.
Whoa, yeah.
And I feel like I like me better when I'm with Jesus.
Ooh, girl, that's true. You know? Isn't that right on? Yeah. Betty, talk to us. I like me better when I'm with God. Woo!
Oh, yeah. Who? If I want him right beside me in all of my decisions and and in my life, because there were times when I left him. He didn't leave me.
Right.
And he gives us a choice, and I think that Stephen had a choice. He could be like the people that were persecuting him and trying to lead him down a road of destruction, but he chose, it was his choice, to keep his eyes on God.
Amen.
And to follow the way that, because the Lord will lead you down the road that he wants you to go.
Right.
And I think we talked about this several weeks ago, that I want to go down the road he wants me to go down.
Amen.
I don't want to go down. I've been there, done that, and my road is not always as easy as what his is. I'm not going to say that his road isn't, helps us to grow, but I would rather be on his road than on my own.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What changed for you in October when you had a defining moment? You have always, for years and years, served the Lord and loved the Lord with all your heart. What changed?
Me.
In what way?
I'd build up a lot of walls.
Okay.
In my own life. I put them there. Because I didn't want to be hurt anymore. I didn't want to have people's words destroy me. So
okay.
I put up my own walls.
Okay.
And you come to a realization that you're tired of living in the junk. You're
right.
Tired of living
right.
in the past. And because the past can destroy you if you let it.
Right.
And you have to be willing to ask for forgiveness on my part.
Okay.
I ask for forgiveness, and I ask to be used by God.
Amen.
And the Lord said, then let him go. Let down the walls that you have put up. And I said,
wow.
Okay, and I've still got one more I've got to let down. But it took me wanting to let go of the past.
Okay. And what people thought of you and things that had happened to you. And by the way, we have email up here. If anybody wants to email and get on this discussion, you can write pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and it'll come straight to the computer right here in front of Connie, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can ask a question or make a comment about what we're talking about. Because don't you think that this is Stephen's defining moment right here in a lot of ways, when they're all ganging up on him, everything is going bad, he has a choice as to placating them and saying, you know, I'll back off. I'll quit praying over so many people. You know, I won't upset you all. You religious leaders, obviously, you have a hard time with that. So I'm not going to be anything strange. Connie, I said this to you this morning. There have been temptations for me different times in the ministry when somebody walks into church brand new, and I know you can tell by their demeanor or something they say when you meet them that they have never been in a wild, charismatic service like we have at Beacon of Hope. And that temptation is always there for me to think, well, should we be real careful today with the gifts of the Holy Spirit or whatever? But it's not like that, because I always know my answer. I mean, it's like Satan puts the thought there, you know, like,
Tone it down.
Yeah, maybe you better tone it down and not be crazy and not whipping, you know, yelling and woohooing and
he didn't tell me.
He didn't tell you that. Or be careful about giving words of prophecy or whatever. But like I said this morning, no, the answer is we let it fly. Whatever the Holy Spirit wants done. And I believe Stephen had that moment right there of opportunity to back down and say, you know, I'll quit praying over people. I'll stop. I'll just be the deacon that's setting up tables that I should do, and I'll quit, I'll quit. And he could not do it. And the reason they couldn't take their eyes off of him is because his eyes were on God, and he was going to follow what God wanted him to do regardless of the consequences to him personally. And I think that is huge, and the story that we need to be, this is kind of our defining moment, right, in this regard. What's coming to me is that old song, Blessed Assurance, this is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior
all the day long.
There you go. And Betty's singing
it.
This is my story, this is my song, okay? That's got to be where we have that defining moment, that it's not going to be caught up in the she said, and now I'm mad because of, we move, go on through our day. Those things are going to happen, but we just go on through our day.
You notice the verses are, this is my story, this is my song. It's not, these are my excuses why I don't want to do this.
Woo! Oh, that's good. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And then the next verse, I think, the second verse is perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and rest or something. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, filled with his love. And that's what it's all about. And Stephen was so full of God that his face radiated it. And I'm telling you, ladies, we need to translate our love for God up to our face
and
to our voice.
Once you've had that, you can't go back. You can't go back to being the table setter upper or the food disher outer.
Why?
Because you've already had a taste of glory divine.
Nothing wrong with those things.
Right.
However, when you get to that place where God opens a door of opportunity, which he did for Stephen, as we go into chapter 7 and just barely into it, and then we're not going to go through everything he said. That would take a long time. But we're going to make a couple points about him, and and Betty and Connie are going to stay with us, and we are going to really talk about the victory that happens when we change what we say with our mouth. That is what happens here. Ooh, we're so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we've got another hour yet. If you just are now going to join us at 4 o'clock, our show starts at 3 o'clock now, and we've changed that a couple of months back, and it's going to stay at 3 to 5. And so we tell everybody to join in a little earlier, and we're glad that you've joined us today. Go to your if you're in the local Tampa Bay area, you can also go online to tantalk1340.com and catch us. And there's a video feed of us here in the studio. And you can email us during the show at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, station ID.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
Wow. Welcome all those states. We're live in 8 states now, and that's really cool. Wow. That's exciting. And we are glad you've joined us on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are in a great discussion about Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Some really good stuff here. I tell you, it took a whole lot of courage. It took a stand. And isn't that interesting? You put that song on next. Betty is with us up in Indiana. Connie is here with me, and so is Nan right here in the studio. And we are live. If you ever miss any of these shows, you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and there's tons of shows on there. We've got a huge server. In fact, I'm going to be working this week with our webmaster to redesign our website and do some new things to it. And so, but always take time to go there and you'll know what's going on, where we're meeting. We meet right now temporarily before we find our next place to meet. We are meeting in the Executive Inn on Almerton, a couple doors down from where we were. This is 3580 Almerton, in a great room right there as you face the hotel on the right. Double doors go into our room. It's very nice. We're very happy there. However, it's temporary, and we are looking for a bigger place. And so we are excited about this show. God's doing some great things. Let's listen to this song, and then we're going to get back to Connie and to what's your name up there in Indiana, Betty? I'm teasing you. And we are going to Acts 7, and we've been talking about Stephen, and this song is called The Stand by Christian Stanfill.
You stood before creation, eternity.
Says a lot right there. Honey, read what Megan just sent us in the email here. It's so right on.
When you take a stand against the devil, the words that come out of your mouth are changed.
Mm-hmm.
You stop controlling your words and let the Holy Spirit take over all of your actions. You become compassionate and giving, mm-hmm. wanting nothing in return. You have to have a mindset change first. If you don't, it won't stick.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are rocking. Been listening since 3 o'clock.
All right, Megan. Stephen had a life change moment here. He had to when he's given the opportunity, because in Acts chapter 7, verse 1, when the chief priest, everybody's been accusing him, they're all against him, they're out to get him, and he's aware of it. He's no dummy. He's aware that he's in deep trouble. He has a chance right here to just turn around and negate what he's been saying and say, wait a minute, I didn't mean all that, you know. Instead, when the chief priest says, what do you have to say for yourself? Stephen replies about three pages of my Bible is his reply. I mean, he goes on. And what he does is he starts with Abraham and he goes through Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and he goes through and he talks about the fact that all these Old Testament events led up to the birth of the Messiah, Jesus, and people. And he says very strongly to all these religious leaders, you're missing the boat because you did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. You nailed him to a cross. You killed him. However, we know that was God's plan for him to go to the cross. But still, Stephen, he comes out here and he is bold in what he says. He does not take any prisoners here. I mean, he's like, okay, guys, you want it? You ask me what I have to say for myself? I'm going to tell you what I have to say for myself. Betty, don't you think this is drastic? It's a defining moment right here. It's a surrender on the part of Stephen. I mean, it's a huge surrender.
Oh, most definitely, especially to talk to the, what I would consider the big guys, you know, the big kahunas. They're hearing what he has to say.
Right.
And they're, you know, you think for a minute they had to at least hear some of what he was saying.
Right.
And you wonder if any of them would have had a change, you know, had a mindset change.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to follow each other.
Yes.
They couldn't go against each other because that would, you know, that's just not kosher.
Right.
That's not kosher.
Kosher.
And I
kosher.
Think that they had, that Stephen so believed in the power of his words.
Woo!
That he had to speak them boldly for them to even consider hearing what he had to say. I mean, he
boldly.
Spoke from his heart, and the very thing of chapter 7 is that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit.
And
I
yeah.
think that you get, when you get filled with that Holy
Woo!
Spirit, just like
yes.
just like you
Spirit.
Like you have, Connie has, Nan has, I have, Megan has,
yep.
everyone has, that you become more bold, and there is nothing going to stand in your way if you have something to say.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And we both know, you're exactly right. When you were saying all that, it reminded me of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace mm-hmm. with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And I believe Stephen did that very thing. He knew he was out on a limb. He had a defining moment, and he began to proclaim with his mouth, here's the story. These are the facts. I remember the old Dragnet years ago. Most of you are too young probably to remember Dragnet.
I remember Dragnet.
You remember Dragnet? And that
young.
Guy would say, just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Don't be telling me anything about and how you out washing the clothes and happened. No, he goes, just the facts. And Stephen tells the facts here. He goes back to Abraham and he goes line by line and he says, here's what happened to Isaac. Here's what happened to Moses. Moses took a stand. The children of Israel came out of slavery. On and on and on. He is declaring and proclaiming. Just a minute. I got to get my bell.
Only one ding.
Proclamation. He is only one ding.
Only
yeah,
one
you think
ding?
It needed two or three?
Yeah, you know, a pounder.
Proclaiming. He is proclaiming. Here's who Jesus is. Get it. It's here. Here's where a lot of us get hung up. Remember I said three things the devil does to try to keep you from your provision, what God has for you. Number one, distractions. All kinds of distractions. We can all relate to that. You can just go back over your last week and see distraction after distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Deceptions where we are deceived into believing that we're too old or we're not vocal enough or we don't have enough people listening to us or nobody loves me, everybody hates me. This is what my mama used to say when I was a little kid. Nobody loves me, everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. So we can get deceptions into being silent. And shutting up. Betty, can you imagine That's what happens with a lot of people. They get deceived into shutting their mouth and not declaring and proclaiming who God is for them and what God wants to do in somebody's life. It's like you come to me, Connie, and you're sick and you need prayer. And I say, you know, I don't know, Connie, maybe you're suffering because you deserve this for some reason. I'm just, you fall in line with the deception of the old lie. Go ahead, Connie wants to comment. And then, Betty, I know you're ready to comment, and I'm going to shut up a minute. Go ahead.
What I was going to say is that I spent a long period of my life after being saved and living the Christian life not telling anybody.
Not telling anybody.
Because
right.
I was too afraid, or I was, you know, I was living under the deception that if I did, you know, I wouldn't be cool anymore.
Right.
Not that I was cool to begin with, but, you know, I would be less cool.
Less cool.
And, you know, people didn't like people who liked Jesus.
Well, absolutely. And I think a lot of people do this in their, in, you know, in their relationships. They want to have a certain person in their life or a love relationship, and so they're not as vocal with what they really believe and what they feel. And okay, Betty, your turn.
Clearly, our words carry energy and have power and impact.
Wow!
It would be like you being silent. Having you be silent, we would wonder what is going on.
You talking to me?
What's wrong with past?
Talking to me there, woman?
Of course she is. Now she's going to get back in her pity party. and don't let the devil deceive you into stealing your joy.
Right.
Because our joy comes with, you know, with the proclamation of, I'm telling you who I am, where I've been, and what I can do through Christ who strengthens me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It comes to a point in time that our what we say, what we do, has a consequence.
Yes.
Now, it can be good. If I say something uplifting to you, it has a good consequence.
Sure.
But if I say something hurtful to Connie, it's going to have a bad consequence.
You got to quit doing that, BT.
I guess that means I have to be nicer to Nan.
Connie anyway. Dang, I got to talk to her. Quit telling her to be, quit being so mean to Nan.
Dang it.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. But you're right about that. There are consequences to our words,
right,
and the words that come out of our mouths can. Okay, Proverbs 18:21. Okay.
Just took that away.
Yeah, let's just read that,
I just
Connie.
Had it. And I
Proverbs 18:21. I don't know who pointed these numbers out to me in the last week. Who was this?
I don't know. What about it?
You know what? I know who it was. It was my own daughter, Lori.
Really?
Proverbs 18:21, because she was ministering this concept to her two stepchildren. One of them, yep, it was Lori. One of them 18, one of them 21. And she said, when you get to the age of 18, now you can do certain things, you know, certain things. When you get to 21, there's even more things that you can do. And read Proverbs 18:21. It's a good way to remember where this verse is.
Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose.
Whoa, that's the Message Bible. I recognize
NIV,
that. In the NIV, read it, yeah.
The tongue has the power of life and death.
Yes.
And those who love it will eat its fruit.
Those who love. Okay, so we have a choice. There's death and life in our tongue. Mm-hmm. And Proverbs 18:21 is a good way to remember it. When you get to that 18-year-old phase, yeah, there's certain things that you begin to realize. 21, you realize a little bit more. It's a good way to remember it. So talk to me, Betty, about this, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And relate this to Stephen, because Stephen boldly preaches through 3 pages of my Bible. Stephen preaches the word to all these religious leaders.
I think the religious leaders had already had their mind set they were going to destroy him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Only because of his belief.
Right.
And I think that they had their mindset that they were going to kill him, which
mm-hmm.
they did.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have a change of our mindset change, God can't, I might be wrong, God wants to work in us, but if we, he gives us a choice to want to change, and I don't think, I'm really having a hard time with this, because if we sat, if you sat on a leadership board, like some people do today, that if you don't line up with their way of thinking,
oh yeah, yeah,
you are disbanded,
right.
You are fired,
right.
You are let go, and there we lose a lot of things when we don't change our mindset. We can lose a spouse just because the things that we didn't line up with them, that there was destruction. Because there were things that didn't go their way, there was destruction.
Right.
And they had to want to change.
Right.
But they chose not to.
And this is the problem right here. Stephen had this defining moment, and he chose to speak boldly who Jesus was and reveal the Messiah to them. And he did it knowing that there would be consequences for his life. And he chose the path that God wanted him. It was total, outright surrender. Don't you think, Connie?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Stephen was bold out here. He wasn't just saying, oh, well, yeah, y'all need to think about God some in your life. It wasn't like that. And he certainly didn't have that, oh, yes, the universe is looking over you. You know, that's one of my pet peeves when people call God the universe. It really bothers me, you know, or yes. I'll light a candle for you or whatever. That is, come on, it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus, the risen Lord who died on the cross for my sins and my sicknesses, and he rose from the dead. And Stephen boldly says, and he's the Messiah, and y'all missed it.
Right,
you know?
And, you know, he's just being truthful. He's going through the whole history just to make sure they understand it. And, you know, either take it or leave it, but this is it. This is the truth. This is what I'm here to tell you. Like it or lump it.
Exactly.
And then they lumped him with rocks.
Exactly.
Now, and you know what's really, it's really just opened my mind up here just for a few seconds,
okay,
is that from the beginning of Moses all the way through the Old Testament,
yeah,
this young man was speaking what God had done.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's not fictitious. It's not something that he made up in his head because he was a false prophet. He knew exactly what he wanted to say because God gave him exactly what to say.
Oh, amen.
And I think that God was talking through him, and he was trying to get the point across in his in the gentle way that he does, but he had to declare it boldly. And I think by the time he was done, he knew that the time was near, because God gives us a choice to be able to speak boldly, and if we don't, there could be consequences again.
And so often, I believe, I totally agree with what you just said, Betty, and I think so often people take the easy road out. They're deceived. It's a deception. Mm-hmm. It's a deception of the enemy. Well, I'll just make peace. I'll just do this, and I won't take a stand. You know, we just played that song, The Stand. I won't take a stand because I want everybody to be happy with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wrote a chapter of this in my new book, Strength for the Fight, all about, you know, the thing that controls so many people is that people-pleasing thing of I want everybody to be happy and I don't want anybody upset ever. And I want to make sure I don't say the hard things. You know what? The older I get, and I guess this is true about older people, myself included.
I wouldn't know.
They can say about anything. You know, they say, you know, like,
yeah, they just
say whatever. They don't care anymore.
Right.
I guess that's happening. That's happening to me. When it comes to my faith and when it comes to what I believe, I'm just going to let it fly, girls, because this is where we're at. We're at a place in time where there needs to be some defining moments in people's lives, and we need to start declaring truth and proclaiming Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He died on a cross for me. He is the healer of my body. He can heal you. I can pray for you, and you can have your headache leave. I can, because he does it through me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's
where it's at. And you're not saying that you're doing it.
No.
He's doing it through you.
You're just a vessel. You're just a vessel. Right. Betty, your turn.
Well,
you
know what? You have to be willing.
Yes.
Yes.
And I totally agree with you. As you get older, I'm not.
As she gets older, you mean?
I'm seeking more wisdom.
I was going to say you're not far from my age at all, girl. So you better be real careful where you're treading. Okay.
The thing is just like in my, and I'll just use an example in my own life. If someone hurts a member of my family,
mm-hmm.
I am like a mama bear, and I come out boldly. I do it softly, but I carry a big stick.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my big stick is the power of God's words
can
be life-changing. And I've become, I want to use good grammar here, I become more bold the older I get because I see I don't have much time left.
Right.
And I want to make sure that my family is saved. I want to make sure that I can do as much for the Lord in the short time that I have, that I can't be silent. I can't sit back in my chair and say, well, I just don't have the strength to do this. Oh, yes, you can. You put that stake down in that ground and you proclaim it. You say, I am going to be healed in Jesus' name, and I'm going to speak to Nathan right now.
Do
he
it.
Is going to be healed in Jesus' name because I am proclaiming it, and that's how bold you have to get sometimes, and I can get pretty bold.
Amen, girl. And it's territory-taking time. Okay, it's time to take territory away from the devil and not allow the devil to deceive us anymore. It's time to stand up like Stephen did and proclaim the word of the Lord no matter what the consequences might be. It's time to take a stand, and people need to be called into accountability. Okay?
Amen.
They have to be.
I think it's just like if you were talking and you were preaching, and someone just stood up, just like they did with Stephen, and they explained to him, they were covering their ears, they were yelling at him, they were at the top of their voices, they rushed at him and dragged him out of the city, and because they didn't want to hear what he had to say anymore.
They didn't want to hear it.
Because they had already made up their mind that we don't want to hear anymore. Well, you know what? Even after Stephen's, when he called out to the Lord, He called out to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Receive my spirit. Because he knew he had done what he was supposed to have done.
Right.
And he knew that, I know somewhere in that Sanhedrin, that someone changed.
Absolutely.
Someone had to change from
his
words.
They had to.
Because they had to because they were God's words, and God's word changes things.
And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, and the anointing was working through him. We got to get this song, and then we're coming back to both of you. God Speaking by Mandisa. God is speaking. I love you.
He's our Valentine.
He is our
ultimate Valentine.
He loves us. It's all about his great love for us.
Wow.
And Stephen knew that. God loved people so much. Stephen loved God, and he loved those people enough to tell them the truth.
And God loves us too much to leave us the same.
That's right.
He wants us to
He's
going to
speak to us. He's going to challenge us. Mm-hmm. Stephen challenged these people and their religious system and caused them to have to look at the situation. And God uses people in our lives, and he says things through those people to us. And the people have got to be the ones willing to be the willing vessel to speak it like we are on this radio week after week after week. Betty, I believe with all my heart that people are in our lives, certain people for a reason. And we have got to realize that death and life are in the tongue. And we have got to be willing to speak the words of life to people that we run into and take those opportunities, whatever they are. You hear me?
Oh, yes, most definitely. In fact, I'm just recovering from that song.
Isn't it great?
One of the things I think that we take a lot of things for granted.
Right.
If I'm, I used to be Miss Timidity. I never wanted to be able to talk about the Lord to anyone because I was afraid of rejection. And through the years, that timidity has turned into boldness.
Amen.
Because I want people to know the Lord that I know, and the Lord that you know, and Connie and Dan, and most of all, the Lord that Stephen knew.
Right.
That he is a God of compassion. He is a God of love. And that no matter what you're going through right now, that God is with you. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? And he reaches down into the very heart of his people. And we've just got to quit hurting each other. We've got to all come together in one accord.
Yes.
And be able to say what the Lord is doing. And it, you know what? They also, besides our words, they have to see the Lord in us. And this
right.
is on a day. This is on a daily basis. That, you know, we walk the walk. We talk the talk, but we got to walk the walk.
Right.
And Stephen was a very bold man. And, you know, he was. I don't think he was deceived. I don't think there was any deception in him at all, because the Lord was fully and wholly in him,
yes.
and the Holy Spirit was apparent in him through his words and even through his facial expressions, and that's what they saw.
Exactly. That is exactly right. And you know, Betty, it took boldness, it took courage for him to speak out like this. And I've got to say, the third D, and these, by the way, come from Graham Cook, who I love so much. But I bear witness with this. I was listening to a CD this week, and it just hit me between the eyes. The first one is Satan will keep you from proclaiming the truth about what God is doing in your life, or proclaiming the truth about what God wants to do in your life or somebody else's life, with number one, the distractions we talked about. The second one, deceptions. And we could go on and on about all these, and maybe we'll amplify them on a later show. But the third one is discouragement. And this is where the devil gets so many people. Stephen could have looked around at that big crowd and got so discouraged about the fact that he was about to die. He's about to go to heaven. And you know, one of you said you think he really knew this. I think he knew, too, that if he got bold, they were going to kill him. They were going to stone him. And yet, he boldly declared the word of the Lord and put it out there, and then let the chips fall where they may. Connie?
That's how you have to do it sometimes. If you have to follow the Holy Spirit leading, and, I mean, if you don't, you just feel like you let God down.
Absolutely. You feel like something's wrong.
Yeah. And so you follow the Holy Spirit leading, and then you know he's going to take care of you.
Right.
So even though he died, he's in a better place.
Mm.
He got the word out.
He got it out, and we've been reading it for 2,000 years. What if he would have
accomplished?
Exactly. What if he would have been just timid and said, oh, I can't do this because what if they kill me, you know?
Right.
But it's like he didn't care. He was marching forward. He had his marching orders. He was speaking boldly. Betty, mm-hmm. talk to us.
I would do my best. this whole weeping thing.
You know what? There's Kleenex in Indiana, too, I hear.
Yeah,
that
there are, and I'm just about down to my last tissue. I think that when you speak of discouragement, that's one of the devil's prime targets.
Oh, my gosh.
Discourage you from your words of encouragement, your words of peace. Because those are words that actually come from the Holy Spirit. And when you're given that opportunity to minister through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is life-changing.
Totally.
It will astound you that if you would take that step of faith and talk to your neighbor, talk to the man that you've been wanting to talk to for so long, and to be able to tell him how much that God loves him, just like that song that Mandisa sang, he'll do anything. He will use anything, and he used Stephen in that instance to tell all of those people, and they all, you know, he could have gotten discouraged, but he didn't. He just kept on. He just kept on keeping on, telling even no matter how loud they got, he just kept talking. And that's where we have to be bold enough to say, okay, I'm Lord, I'm going to step out. And you know what? He's going to hold your hand, and he's going to be with you the entire time.
Oh,
he's
totally.
He's not going to give you it's like a teacher. He's not going to give you an assignment and then leave you cold.
No, he's not. You know, something I've been all week long, everywhere I go in the car, and I've been out showing a lot of homes and working a lot this week, and I've been listening to a lot of Graham Cook CDs, and people, his name ends in E, C-O-O-K-E, Graham Cook from England. It's just amazing, teacher of the word. But something I wrote in my Bible yesterday, the poverty spirit is more than lack of finances. The poverty spirit is living with meager possibilities. I'm going to say that again. Living with meager possibilities. Never accomplishing God's plan for your life. Just living, just settling. It's like settling for maybe somebody's in a terrible marriage, and instead of confronting issues and dealing with them and facing what might be consequences, perhaps the marriage won't last or whatever the case may be, poverty spirit is something that lodges down in us and makes us feel like it would be easier to just live with meager possibilities, never doing exploits for God. 2 Chronicles 16:9, God says, the eyes of the Lord roam all over the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely his. And when he finds somebody, and Lord, let you find me right here. When God finds people who are willing to not live with meager possibilities, then the antidote, you know, like the poison is the meager possibilities, which is the poverty spirit. The antidote to that is proclamation. Everybody listen to me very carefully. This came from Graham Cook, and I totally agree with it. Proclamation is the antidote to living with a poverty spirit. A poverty spirit says, I'm going to settle. I'm going to settle for this. Maybe it's not the best, but at least I've got this person in my life. Or I'm going to settle for not much income, not believing God for a raise because, oh, I don't want to ask for a raise. Or I'm going to settle with this back pain or this problem I've always had because, oh, I don't want to bother God. It's just a pain in my back. Or I'm going to settle for these bad situations with some family members because, oh, well, you know, it's easier than having to deal with it. That's a poverty spirit. The antidote to the poverty spirit is proclamation. Stephen stood up here and said, I'm not going to live with meager possibilities. I am going to believe God that the greatest good can come out of me speaking boldly. And he spoke boldly, and we know that he died in that sermon. At the end of that sermon, they stone him to death. But I love the end of it in Acts 7, and it's about, I don't know what verse it is, where is it, that Stephen hardly noticed the mob and everything coming at him. In verse 54 of Acts 7, he was so full of the Holy Spirit, he only had eyes for God, whom he saw in all his glory with Jesus standing at his side. And he says, I see heaven wide open and the Son of Man standing at God's side. Then they continued to do this as the rocks rained down on him. In verse 59 of Acts 7, Stephen prays, Master Jesus, take my life. Then he knelt down praying loud enough for everyone to hear. I mean, he didn't just whisper, oh God, I'm dying. No, guys, I love this. He prayed loud enough for everyone to hear. Master, don't blame them for this sin. His last words, then he died. Whoa, whoa. He proclaimed loudly with his final breaths, God, don't hold this against him. Forgive him. I forgive him. Forgive him.
Jesus did.
Whoa. Whoa. Talk to me, Betty.
I think that there comes a time in our life where we have to do exactly what Stephen did, that no matter what the circumstances of what we feel or see, that forgiveness can be a proclamation also, I think, Pastor, because...
I agree.
He could have...
Yes.
He could have died and not said a word about forgiveness, because that's exactly what the Lord said, you know, as he was dying on the cross, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Exactly. Same.
And I think that sometimes we talk about... We don't think before we speak.
Right.
But Stephen asked the Lord for them.
Yes.
To forgive him.
He did.
And they didn't know what they were. I think our people perished because of lack of knowledge.
Right.
That they had no idea what they were doing.
Exactly.
That they'd set their mind that this is what they were going to do, and they were going to carry it out. But again, Stephen asked for forgiveness for those people. And I think that's what we have to do today. If someone has hurt us, situation has hurt us, we need to ask the Lord for forgiveness.
Oh, totally. I agree. And what's interesting, the next line, which is the last line of chapter 7, Saul was right there congratulating the killers. We know that this man heard that sermon, and he became Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. That sermon planted the seed in Saul right there for his conversion, which we have all these books in the Bible because of that sermon that was preached boldly and proclaimed by Stephen, got into the ears of this man, Saul, and who knows how many others, and changed his life forever. Your daughter, Megan, has just written an email. Connie, do you want to read it? Because I think it's very good.
Stephen's path that he took to get the word of God out can be seen in today's world. We don't trust people anymore. Can be deceptive from Satan. Being deceived to hear the words in a church service. Oh, that pastor doesn't know what they're talking about, etc. What are you truly afraid of? Having to leave your trash on the curb and walk in a Christian path? I hope this makes sense.
It does make sense. Mm-hmm. And what happens is people are too afraid to let go of all those things they're familiar with. Oh, my. Connie, did you have a comment about that before we go to this Casting Crown song, mm-hmm. The Well?
No.
Oh, you want to hear this?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Betty, I hear you picked this out.
Oh. Yeah, here they come again.
Here they come.
Here they come.
Okay, here we go.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work,
But you keep on working when you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy. Just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail, so leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while, you'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail, so leave it all behind. That you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah, it's all who thirst will thirst no more. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail, so leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection.
Leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind.
Your temporary pleasure.
Leave it all behind.
Leave it behind, dear friends. Leave it behind. Lay it down. All that's keeping you from becoming the person, the soldier, the ambassador of peace and reconciliation and love that God has called you to be. Leave it behind. I mentioned this morning in my sermon that I've been with so many people as they go to be with the Lord. Friday, I was with some of our people as we put down their beautiful dog with cancer. And even in an animal, there is a sense that that animal knows they're at peace and they're going. Mm-hmm. And that was a beautiful experience Friday. And with this particular person, we had just gone through the very same thing as her mother went to be with the Lord in October. And so it was a painful time. But in both of those instances, we knew they were fine and at peace. And that is the same as when it was with my mother a few months back. And I have seen so many people dying of cancer or some illness, and they are in their last few moments, and they look up, and they see Jesus. And some of them have actually said, Jesus. Some have not. Some have just extended a hand out. And one guy I remember in Indiana, just raising both hands. He was so ill. He was laying in that bed with all of us around him. He raised both hands in praise to God as we were praising. He raises his hands with a grin on his face, and he's gone into the arms of Jesus. This is what it was like with Stephen right here. He looks up. He sees Jesus standing up to receive him. Wow. And standing beside God the Father, and Stephen had eyes only for Jesus. Betty, talk to me about this. Then Connie.
I'll do my best. one of the neat things is that we know whether it's a human being or an animal, that there's peace.
Amen.
The peace that passes all understanding.
Yes.
And I know if there's someone out there today that doesn't know that peace,
yes,
that he is willing, I mean, there's plenty of room at the cross.
Amen.
That they can find it today.
Yes. Amen. I so agree. Connie, did you want to comment on that song? Well, The Well, that is a great song.
I like the last part of it when they're talking about bring it all to the well.
Yes.
And she's saying your pursuit of perfection, fear of rejection, temporary pleasures, just leave it all.
Ooh.
Because they're not doing anything for us.
Right.
And once we realize that they're not doing anything for us, you just need to drop them off.
And so often they're just distractions, these things mm-hmm. that we're seeking. The last D that we talked about a minute ago was discouragement. I think a lot of times the devil uses that just to keep our eyes off of Jesus, get us into a self-pity, into a pity party where we are just, oh, why has this happened and why has that happened? And then the discouragement sets in and we can't proclaim the word of the Lord over our own lives. People, we need to declare over our own lives, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior in my life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is the bread of life, and I take him in, and I live in his presence, and I desire to be everything he wants me to be. And we begin to proclaim over ourselves. And that is the answer here to really walking in God's peace, is we learn to let the word of God come out of our mouth. We proclaim what we need in our lives. We proclaim what God has already done for us and what he wants to do. And we're going to do that over you, dear listeners, right now before we come back to Betty and Connie. Just bow your head with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come into your presence with shouts of joy, with shouts of acclamation, because you are so wonderful. You are all we need, and we love you so much. And Lord, we recommit this moment. We recommit our lives to you in a powerful way. And we say, we'll be what you want us to be. We'll go where you want us to go. Everything you've commanded us, we'll do. And we'll follow the leading of your voice. God speaking to us. We'll listen to your voice. It may be something that we see in something that is written. It may be something we hear from someone's voice. It may be all these different things. You may wake us up in the middle of the night and tell us something that you want us to know. Whatever it is, God, we want our ears to be attentive to your voice. And God, we want to be courageous like Stephen. We proclaim right now in the name of Jesus over the listeners of this broadcast, either today live or another time, that we do walk in the word of God. We do listen to the Good Shepherd, and you do speak to us. We proclaim right now that Jesus came to give us life and to give it abundantly, and we walk in that. We proclaim right now that Jesus came to undo the works of the devil. And so we line ourselves up with Jesus and what he came to do. And we absolutely will make war on distractions, deceptions, and discouragement. And we will not let these tricks of the devil control us. And we declare that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed and made whole, and our sins are forgiven. And we declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that accuses us in judgment, we will show to be in the wrong. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and we proclaim it and declare it over our listeners today and over each of us on this show today. We declare right now that the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it goes down into our joints and marrow, and it actually does a work in us that is supernatural. We proclaim that right now in the name of Jesus. We proclaim that God is raising up 10,000 prayer warriors who will raise up and will say, we will pray and believe for revival for this nation. We will believe that there will be more people going to the airwaves who will declare the word of the Lord. And we will individually commit to pray more. All the time, God, we want to pray in season and out of season. We want to be at all times vigilant to hear your voice. We proclaim this over our listeners today. We proclaim it over Connie and Betty and I right now. In the name of Jesus, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Wow.
Let the calluses come off of our hearts and our ears.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And take the fear away of being hurt.
Take the fear away of being hurt.
Take the blinders off of our eyes and the wax out of our ears so that we will hear what the Lord has to say.
Make us willing to step out. Do it.
You know, I think that that's what happens at the end of life for God's saints, like with my mother. She was in another place before she actually slipped out of her body and went away in July. She was already in another place. She was talking to Jesus, you know, about 3 weeks before she wasn't talking because of the Alzheimer's, but she had that day where she had that conversation with him where she just really talked to him and moved her hands and said all kinds of stuff. And back and forth, they were conversing. And her attention was, she was just gradually slipping away from the things of this earth, you know. And her focus, her vision was on where she was headed. And I think that's what we have to do, even though we're not physically dying right now. We are all dying, but I mean,
we need to die to ourselves.
We need to die to ourselves, and we need to retrain our focus, you know? And we need to get out of those earthly concerns so much and the things that bog us down, and we need to reframe our vision and see Jesus.
Woo!
Amen. Amen. Talk to us, Betty.
I think that I agree 100,000% what you said, and I think that our final destination is home.
Amen.
Our heavenly home, and that's when you were talking about your mom, bless her heart. My dad, which is, you know, it's been almost 25 years ago that he passed away.
Wow.
And his last words were, "I want to go home."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want to go home. So. Yes. If we, you know, now, if we can keep our eyes on Jesus and do what he wants us to do, and he wants us to love one another and forget about the past, and let's go forward.
Amen. Let's proclaim with all our mouths. Let's proclaim the truth of God's word, his promises. Yes, exactly. Connie, you have a final word?
Can you come back to me?
Yeah, I'll come back to you, Betty. So here we are at this point in our life, and we need to drive a new stake in the ground right now. And we need to say, God, okay, I'm going to be your person of proclamation, your proclamator. And I am going to declare with my mouth what your word says about me and my situation, and I am not going to take my circumstances lying down, discouraged, defeated, distracted, or deceived.
Amen. And I think that you take a stand against the devil, and he will flee from you. That's another promise that God gives.
Amen.
Us, that if you will, if you will take a stand and proclaim, and I'll proclaim it in public, is, you know, Satan, get thee behind me. You are not going to cause me to be distracted. You are not going to deceive me. I am not going to be discouraged because I have a job to do. And I'm going to do it.
Amen.
And you have to be bold enough and ask the Holy Spirit to direct you in the way that he wants you to go.
Amen. Thank you, Betty. Wonderful. Do you have a final word, Connie? We're about out of time.
No, I think I'm good.
You think you're good. Mm-hmm. You two are amazing. This has been a great show. God bless you both. Thank you so much. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, join us for a service Sunday mornings at 10:30 at 3580 Almerton Road in the Executive Inn temporarily until we find a bigger space. If you know of a space in that area, let us know, because we need to find something. And Bible study is on Wednesday nights at 7, interactive. Come and join us. Prayer meeting at 6:15. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and catch old radio shows. And it's a blessing to be on the air. And this final song that I love so much, It's Not Far to Jesus, really says it all. As we end each show, it's not far to Jesus. If you don't know him as your personal savior, you can email me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and I will dialogue with you, and we will answer your questions and help you in whatever way we can. So God bless you. We're glad you tuned in today. Have a great week. We will be right back here in these chairs next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Tell a friend, it's not far to Jesus. God bless you.
Praise God.
See ya.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for you.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.